From KPFK Pacifica Radio, this is Rising Up with Sonali, and I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. You can watch this program on Free Speech TV and listen to it on Pacifica Radio stations and affiliates nationwide. The Biden administration has just designated the military takeover of government in Myanmar to be a coup d'etat, a move that automatically triggers a freeze of U.S. aid to the tiny Asian nation. Myanmar, historically known as Burma, had enjoyed a brief period of democratic rule, albeit marred by a genocidal drive against its Rohingya minority. The once embattled leader, Aung San Suu Kyi, who had been under house arrest for years, was then freed and went on to become a leader in the new government. She now faces detention once more as the military crafted a formal charge against her. This time around, Suu Kyi does not have the international standing she once did. What has happened in Myanmar to spark this latest military takeover? For that, we turn to Edith Mirante, director of the Project MAGE, an informational project on Myanmar's human rights and environmental issues. She's written two books about Burma. Welcome to the program, Edith.
Thank you, Sonali. It's good to be back talking to you about events in Myanmar, also known as Burma.
So first, there were elections last year, I understand, and that has the contentions over the election has formed the basis of the military's justification for what it's done. Give me a sense of that backdrop to this issue.
Well, like in the United States, there were national elections in Myanmar last November. And also in a familiar pattern, there was what you might call election results non-acceptance syndrome. In their case, on the part of the military, who did field candidates in the election and lost miserably. There was a landslide with over 80% of the parliamentary seats going to the National League for Democracy, the party of Aung San Suu Kyi. So as she had in 2015 elections, you know, she won massively. She's still very popular in the cities and in the countryside. This increasingly since November had caused, you know, stolen votes, rigged election, that kind of rhetoric from the military, building up to rumors that they would take over in a coup d'etat, and then they did. The military was already the government in a way because they were operating under their constitution, the military dictatorship put in place back in 2008. And that constitution gives them 26% of the seats in parliament that don't get voted on. They just are army people who sit in there and do what the army wants. So I guess they were really, really disappointed that they didn't get more than that, that they didn't get more than the power to run things that they already had. And a lot of people are confused because Aung San Suu Kyi herself had played very nicely with the generals. She called them rather sweet at one point, and more disgracefully went to the International Criminal Court to state their case, defending them for the genocide of the Rohingya people.
Which, of course, earned her, rightly so, the ire of the international community. And she herself sort of became a pariah, right? She fell from grace with the international community for doing that.
She did internationally. It did not necessarily damage her, obviously, or the standing of her party in Myanmar itself. However, voters still gave her party a major vote of confidence, whether they were voting against the military or voting for her because they still do respect her. Her standing within the country is very, very different. You know, you're not going to see you know, posters to free her like you used to when she was under house arrest back in the 90s internationally. But you certainly see that sentiment in Myanmar.
And in part, was her popularity based on the fact that she was willing to offer cover for the genocide?
I think it was in spite of it. Many people went along with the genocide because it was portrayed as defending the country against Muslim insurgents and rebels and terrorists.
Which is why I'm wondering if her position on that actually helped her with her population, because that genocide sadly remained popular among the non-Rohingya population.
Well, the main people that it helped were the military, and particularly Senior Commander Min Aung Hlaing, who is the architect and beneficiary of the coup that's just happened. He made his career doing similar actions at the beginning up in the north against a Chinese ethnic minority, Kokang people, and used the same tactics and the same infantry divisions, 33 and 99, against them. So arson, rape, massacre, exactly what we saw later on a much, much larger scale in 2016 and 2017 against the Rohingya. And he managed to portray that to the nation as the army saving them, again, against terrorism, against foreigners, against interference by unpopular minorities, Chinese and Muslim minorities. So that's really been his modus operandi all along. He's not a charismatic person. He's a small career military officer, I mean, physically small. He's actually shorter than Aung San Suu Kyi, who's often portrayed as a diminutive person. So it's not like exactly a cult of personality, but it is a cult of the military.
Right.
I haven't seen the F word used that much to describe this, but it is literally a fascist regime where the military will be in charge of the economy and every aspect of life.
So, Edith, how did it play out? I mean, it's still very new. It's just been a few days. We've seen some remarkable scenes, one in particular, a viral video of a young woman recording her aerobics routine and unaware of the fact that the military trucks and Humvees driving behind her were actually participating in the beginnings of the coup. What did it, as far as you can tell from reports, how did it unfold? Was this a bloodless coup?
Well, as far as viral video, that young woman probably was extremely aware of what she was doing. Her choice of song was an Indonesian song, which is very anti-authoritarian. And if you go back and look at some of the dance moves she was making, they were portraying strength. In Myanmar, there's a long, long tradition of people in the arts, whether it's hip hop or dance or painting, resisting in clever ways because they had to do it. So
they have a long history of living under a military dictatorship. I mean, it just hasn't been very long since the dictatorship, the previous one, was over. And here they are, it seems, in a new one.
Well, and again, it never really was over. I mean, they've always been pulling the strings throughout the past 10 years. With that said, there has been breathing space. So there's been a lot of civil society organizing. There have been environmental organizations, arts that have flourished. So a lot of things did change, and massive use of social media for good and bad in the last 10 years. Amin Than, who's been live tweeting the coup, as they put it, mentioned a relative saying something like, "We don't know how to do this anymore," meaning we don't know how to function under a totally repressive regime anymore.
And this is the reporter who actually, a Reuters reporter, who actually wrote an op-ed in the New York Times on Wednesday explaining what happened. Yeah.
Yes, and so they're, as it were, embedded in the city as this has been happening. And there is this sort of sense that, you know, maybe we physically cannot go back to the way it was before of hiding in fear. They may be the people who are just starting this resistance, whether, you know, the aerobics routine might have been the very first example, but now medical personnel are coming out and going on strike and singing in the street. People are banging pots and pans at night.
And this seems pretty new. I mean, the fact that people are showing resistance so early on in this coup, is that a potentially positive sign?
As an analyst from Burma, Jeffrey Ong, said, resistance is in the air. And it's in the air worldwide, of course. In neighboring Thailand, there's a massive resistance to a military-based regime. And even things like Black Lives Matter here in the United States and Portland, Oregon, where I live, they form these models for young people. However, it's really, really different in Myanmar because of the willingness of the military to use live ammunition. The tear gas that's been used here and in Bangkok and in Hong Kong is horrible. But we're talking about potentially shooting people dead in the streets, which happened in 1988. There was an enormous uprising against the military for months and months. Every village, every city was in it. And that was suppressed with thousands and thousands of people killed. And then in 2007, what they call the Saffron Revolution happened, where monks led people out into the streets protesting. And at that time, hundreds of people were killed. It was shorter lived. So we will see what happens from here. But people do know what they're up against. And it is far beyond what most people resisting governments face.
So what about Aung San Suu Kyi now? Is she under house arrest, or is she being held in a prison or a jail? And what is the charge that they filed against her to justify keeping her or essentially arresting her?
She's under house arrest in the capital, Naypyidaw, which is a somewhat isolated, just a government center in the middle of the country. It's not in or near one of the larger cities where a lot of people live. And members of parliament who are based there, who are just about to take their seats for the first time in some cases, the opening sessions were going to happen when the coup came down on them. They were held, and then now they seem to have been told to go home.
Except for her, she's remained in prison.
She's not,
or rather, house arrest.
Her residence, her residence in the government center, and she was charged with importing an electronic device illegally, which means apparently her bodyguard's walkie-talkie radios. In this day of
spurious a charge as you can think of.
In your hand, which does everything.
Reminds me of Hillary's email servers.
And only with criminal charges. Yeah. And then she was called the state counselor, so head of state. And the next top politician from her party was charged with violating pandemic guidelines.
And of course, what helped Aung San Suu Kyi the last time she had been held under house arrest, and she was held for years and years and years, was the sympathy of the international community. She is likely to not get that same sympathy from the international community, given, as we mentioned earlier, her justification of the genocide against Rohingya Muslims, which means what exactly? Where does that leave Myanmar and its democracy? It's, I mentioned that the U.S. State Department has designated what happened as a coup. So the U.S. has frozen military aid. But I understand that that is a fairly minor amount of aid. The U.S. doesn't have a huge amount of leverage, even if one sort of believed that the U.S. should police other countries. There really isn't any lever there to pull of any seriousness, I understand, right?
The U.S. already had sanctions on General Min Aung Hlaing and other elements of the military because of the Rohingya. Yes, it's been designated a coup. China called it a major cabinet reshuffle, which is quite the euphemism. And China is the main patron in the last decades of the military in Myanmar, although there has been a lot of tension, as I mentioned. Min Aung Hlaing has a history of attacking ethnic Chinese populations, for instance. So China really got along with Aung San Suu Kyi very well. That was a pretty well cultivated.
So China may oppose the military coup?
Possibly, or they might have given it the go-ahead. Nobody really knows, but it could go either way with them. But I think my main point would be that this is not up to the international community. There will be asks from them, and an arms embargo would be really, really nice to have. But this is up to the people in Burma. And it's just a question of, is their resistance going to be strong enough? Or are people going to be afraid, rightfully so, and cowed, and go along with this for a year, which is what the military has said this will go on for? Or will they be so supportive of Aung San Suu Kyi? Will they be so angry that Facebook's getting turned off for 3 days? Will they be so angry, period, that this is happening in 2021? That they will launch such a meaningful and targeted and strategic kind of resistance that an end will be put to this a lot sooner than a year from now or 10 years from now.
So what is the military saying they will do in a year? Are they saying that they're just, stabilizing the country and laying the groundwork for new elections in such and such a period, which is a sort of standard thing you hear from generals when they take over a nation?
Yeah, always. They're always being a caretaker government. There was a caretaker government in 1962 in Myanmar, which lasted for many, many decades. They said it'll be a year. They appointed a new council to look over it, which is all generals, and put in some cabinet ministers of their own. They're making sure they keep track of their jade mines and all the many, many economic interests they already have. And they're going to, maybe they'll try elections, until they ever win one. But when you're 80% down, that's pretty hard to have happen. One of the members of parliament was being taken away, and she said, "You think you won the election? Let's have an election right here, right now, see who wins." And that's, people know that's the case in the entire country. They know that this election results non-acceptance syndrome, has far less to go on in their country than it would even in a country where it's, kind of 50-50 all the time, like ours. So whatever they're saying to cover it, and they also say that it's legal under the constitution, that it's a state of emergency, well, it's their constitution. So of course they would write in clauses that allow them to do this when they feel like it. Whatever it is certainly not viewed by as legitimate, other than a very small part of the population. And they also may well try to scapegoat and drum up animosity against other ethnic groups or religious groups, anti-Muslim or anti-Chinese violence, or stirring up that kind of thing. So that's definitely something that people are trying to watch out for and be careful of, because they've done that a lot in the past. And as I said, that's Min Aung Hlaing's claim to fame, basically, is doing that.
Well, we'll follow this story as it unfolds. Edith, I want to thank you so much for joining us today. Appreciate your time.
Thanks so much, Sonali. Take care.
My guest has been Edith Mirante, Director of Project MAGE, an informational project on Myanmar's human rights and environmental issues. We've been discussing the recent military coup in Myanmar. I'm Sonali Kolhatkar. We're online at risingupatsonali.com, where you can sign up for our daily newsletter. Also, follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at RU with Sonali. Thanks so much, Edith. Appreciate it.